Good morning. Just wanted to welcome everybody here this morning. Thanks for those of us that are joining online. Get into God's Word this morning. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, almost the last kind of chapter there in Romans. So Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 19, it says this, "By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit..." So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, something like that. I apologize. "I fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition," and I want to pause there. We're going to come back to that in just a second. "Ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." The writer here is Paul. He's writing to some Roman, the community. He's writing to the churches in Rome. And he's encouraging them, saying like, hey, my ambition as the Apostle Paul is to preach the gospel. And I love this idea because when I looked in different translations, I thought that word ambition, you know, it could be taken in a couple different ways. But I thought, let's find it in all the different translations. And we're all translating it basically ambition. It didn't matter which one I looked at. So I thought that was fascinating. A couple other ones had it like this. It's my aim to present the gospel, or it's my, I aspire to this goal. That's my target, is to present the gospel. Now, I don't know your ambition in life. Let me just rattle off a few for fun because you might connect with this. What's your ambition, aim, or goal in life? Pursuing a fulfilling career. Nailed that one. I love my job. Traveling the world. Still working on that one. You know, I got a bit of it. Personal growth and development. Always a good thing to do. Never done growing. Starting a family. I got four. I'm winning. You know, just saying, I'm having fun with you now. Achieving financial independence. Some people, that is a goal. Pursuing hobbies and passions. Achieving a kind of work-life balance. Living a healthy lifestyle. Sometimes our eating habits, that's a goal or an ambition for people. And cutting out other things that are super yummy that you're not supposed to eat, I guess. Leaving a legacy. So often near the end of our life, we think, oh, what kind of legacy did I leave? And some people's goals are like they're thinking about that before they get to that day. And building strong relationships. And so for me, I'm thinking when I retire, the senior PGA, I'd love to just kind of, it's retirement, to travel around, that's a checkbox. And get to, you know, hang out with nice warm weather, that's another checkbox. And if you say to me, you're thinking, Pastor, if you're not that good at golf, well, you know what? It will be my ambition to prove you wrong. So bring it on. I'm joking, but anyways, you know. I just, you know, you got to have an ambition. You got to have some goals out there. And so Paul explains, though, that his life is to share the gospel. It has ambition in life. And so what does that mean for you and I? Because this morning, you know, if we all said, well, I'm going to preach the gospel, it's going to, oh my, this is going to take some time. If everybody had about a 30-minute message, like we would be here for probably 2 weeks. It would be awesome. I think that would be a lot of fun. But in a sense, it's not everybody's actually standing up and preaching the gospel. We could find moments where, hey, on the weekend, on a family camp weekend, there'll be somebody preaching the gospel in four different services. So there's lots of times preaching the gospel. But what does that practically mean for you and I? Now, I used to work in, you know, retail for 10 years, so I didn't get a chance to preach the gospel in a sense, get up and share the gospel in a church or in a, you know, a home or on the street or with a friend, in a sense, just preaching the gospel at them. But what could my life look like that I would represent that? That's one thought. The second thought I have is like, around the world, like the gospel is actually not getting preached on areas of the world to cultures of the world, of different languages of the world. So what does that mean? You know, a person that is born where there's no gospel presentation, not in their language, and at the end of their life, they pass away and the gospel was never presented to them. What happens to this person? Like, there's seriously people around on the globe that don't get that. Here's just my personal takeaway. You don't have to, it's not really a theological standpoint or something, but if somebody lives and dies and never hears the gospel because they live somewhere where they can never hear it, how would God judge that person? It's an interesting thought. I want to try and answer that question for you. So we're in Romans. Roman, great guy, great teacher again, Paul. Let's go to the very first chapter. I just love it how Paul's like, right out of the gate, he just wants to answer that question because they may have that kind of question. Like, hey, we didn't even hear the gospel until today. You know, my great-grandfather didn't hear this gospel message. So what happens to him? And Paul addresses it. Highlight your Bible. We've talked about this one time before in my 7 years here with you. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, what we can make, so that man is without excuse. So he might not be able to, this person might not be able to confess in Jesus because he actually never heard Jesus' gospel, but he'll be able to, at least when he looks at creation, creation screams of a creator. Isn't that just a wonderful thought to think about? As the more we find out scientifically, the more we understand that the Bible is just so truthful. Every time science reveals something, it's like, oh, that lines up with scripture. Well, oops, you know, how did that happen? It's just brilliant stuff. I love it. So again, how can we preach the gospel? How can we be obedient to scripture? How can the gospel message go out? How can I live the gospel message out? So I want to share just a couple of those thoughts with you. So what does that mean for me as a person? How can I live that out? So we're going to go to the book of John as an example. There are just thousands of scriptures. And I had to cut a bunch out because obviously I could only have so much time to share with you. So in John chapter 13, verse 34, it says this. Jesus is saying this. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And that's out of Jesus' mouth. We must love one another. And I think about Jesus, okay, his story, right? His closest, you know, compadres, his friends, his disciples, the 12, the elect, the elite. One of them sells him out, turns his back on him for money. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in that boat that you could say, somebody did that to me. In his darkest hour, in a sense, you know, again, one of his closest friends denies even knowing the guy 3 times. When he's being arrested and being accused of things, all of his friends leave him. All of his friends forsake him. So I don't know what you've experienced in life, but Jesus says this, you must love each other. You must love everybody. And it's not a suggestion. Like, again, you can love certain people, but not others. It's like you must love everybody. Now, I know I've been hurt in life, and there are people that I actually probably don't want to be in a relationship with, but I still love them. I still pray for them. There is room for that. I understand that. But God is saying, love them. Don't hold resentment. Don't hold bitterness. There's no room for that, God is saying. We must love each other. So that's something that is required of us. If we do that, it actually speaks the gospel. It preaches the gospel. Because most people that get hurt, me included, we write people off. You're done. I'm out. And you have something to say about them. But if somebody hurt you, and then you went out of your way and loved on them and gave them something and did something like that scripturally seems wrong to us, that preaches the gospel to people. People are watching. They're wanting to see somebody do something different in a situation. Okay, so that's again for us. I want to love and appreciate what God has done for us. And I got to unpack just a few verses because it wouldn't make sense if I just kind of picked up one here. So let's go to Colossians. Again, we're going to spend a lot of time with Paul in the New Testament speaking about this thought, about his ambition, our aim, what's our goal. And so in Colossians here, we pick it up in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. If we put our time and our attention on earthly things, it can get sad and depressed and worrisome. But when we put our eyes upon Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of God, man, we have confidence in him. For he died, and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We know that at the end. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And there's a whole list of things here, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is all idolatry, because these things, because of these things, the wrath of God's coming. You used to walk in these ways. In the life you once lived, you used to be that way. And it goes even a bit further because some of us will say, well, I didn't even touch any of those. Those are like really bad sins. Then Jesus just reminds us very gently, but you must rid yourselves of all such things even as this, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. We're all in that boat. Verse 9, don't lie to each other since you've taken off, again, that old self, its old practices, and you've put on this brand new self. We talk about this often, is that when scientific research finds in the mind that, you know, pathways are created in your mind, neurological pathways. So when I'm stressed out and worried, I would go over here to have my needs met with chocolate and cheese and these kind of things. You know, we all know that golfing, you know, you get distracted by that. But you can recreate, you can renew your mind so that when I get stressed out and worried, boom, I go here. You can refocus your mind. And God has given us that ability. He says, do it. You know, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised. No, we're all in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with these kinds of things. Yes. Well, I need more compassion, Father. Help me. I need to be more kind to people. Help me with that. I need to be humble. Man, help me with that. I need to be more gentle. Lord, I need patience, all these kind of things. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We are without excuse. When we don't forgive, that just doesn't make sense in here because God forgave you. And when God forgives you, then we act in a way of forgiveness for every other person. And over all these virtues, put on love. See, it's an action. You put it on every day. Put it on. God, I need to put your love on today. I need to put on your humility today. God, I'm super frustrated. I need to put on some patience today. It's an action. We've got to do it. We've got to call out. Please help me, God, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Since as members of one body, we're called to be called to peace and be thankful. And I had to pause there because when I read all these other verses, I'm always like, yes, yes, it all makes sense. Then he just throws in this little thing, be thankful. I just, you know, slips it in there. I'm thinking like, okay, there's got to be more to that. There's got to be a little bit something. And so, Ben, you got to help me out here. I'll try and not brutalize this Greek word here, but the Greek word, and it's only used one time in the New Testament. So like, again, there's got to be something there. He's like, he picked this one word to put in there in this whole like thought process. I thought, that's really brilliant, isn't it? So eukaryostis. We'll try that, and we'll hopefully somebody online will correct me. But again, it's only used one time. It means, as it says, thankful, we get that, for God's grace working out what is eternally good. So we're so thankful for God's grace that works out our salvation. Grateful, which is literally means graceful. Acknowledging that God's grace works well for our eternal gain and to bring him glory. So we're thankful for that because God works in and through us, not again for my good deeds, it's because what God does in me, I'm thankful for that. It's just such a simple word, be thankful. Well, I should be, you're right. But no, it's so rich, it's so deep. And so verse 16, finishing off this thought. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts, because we're thankful people. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So our ambitions, one of our ambitions, one of our goals should be like, today, how can I be thankful to God? How can I bring him praise? And when I do that, I speak, I represent the gospel as I live that out in my life. I just love that idea. God's called us. He wants us to live a certain way, and he's given us the tools to do it. I want to look at just a few verses. If you're taking notes, you better write fast because we're going to jump around a bit. If you flip, it's going to be a sword drill. See how fast you can flip. Supporting each other. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Holy smokes. That's terrible. I shouldn't say it like that. I apologize. Wowzers. I don't know what other word I could use. Like, when we carry each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. So you want to represent the gospel. When we carry each other's struggles, that presents the gospel to the world, and we fulfill what God has asked us to do. One way we do that. That is unbelievable. That is such a deep thought. I want to share something. I was going to share at the end of the service with you, but I want some people online to know this because just let me say what I want to say first, so don't jump to conclusions yet. At the end of the service, there's a gentleman in our church. He usually sits at the back, missing his thumb, gives you a handshake. His name is Wally Froese. It's his 100th birthday on Wednesday. And so as a church this morning, we brought him a cake. Says, happy birthday, Wally. So he's okay. Let me just say that out of the gate. Last night, though, he's just been in and out of the hospital the last couple months. And so he's with his son, Len. And so he's doing okay. He's just not going to be here this morning. And so when we sit with Wally, when we just listen to his stories, when we pray for him, and as we sit usually Tuesday at men's fellowship, we just sit there and listen to his stories, right? As we do that and we encourage one another, we go pick them up because they don't have a ride. As we carry each other's burdens, we actually are fulfilling the law of Christ. What a purpose. What a great calling in our lives to be able to do that. Let's look at another kind of thought around supporting each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So we know that when we gave ourselves to Jesus, God came and lived inside of us, and we feel that, don't you? When you got saved, and this happens even when you kind of give yourself again to the Lord or give yourself back to the Lord, there's usually emotion. And even for men, we even cry. We think because there's this love that pours into us. Wow, God has forgiven me of all of my stuff. Like, that's unbelievable. You feel lighter. Whew, I feel lighter today after that experience. So we, as God's comfort us, we want to comfort others. So they have a similar emotion to that feeling. Now, we're not God. We're not trying to like say that we're going to comfort them so they're going to feel that same emotion. But we can love on them so that they feel this joy and this peace. And they'll ask you, where does that come from? They'll say, I've never felt what I feel when I'm with you, when you just kind of console me, you pray for me. What is that? And then you give them the hope. I have hope in Jesus. I have hope in God. And this is how I present the gospel. It's just brilliant stuff. This word, man, I'm excited about this. Okay, let's go on. Forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Same train of thought. This one gets me excited, right down to my bones. Just listen to this thing right here. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man or woman down, but a kind word can cheer him up. And when I see that word anxious, I think all of us know in today's mental health and situation, when there's anxiety, when there's worry, when there's fear, when there's hopelessness, a kind word or a caring word. Like, you know people that actually are listening and caring for you, and those that are just like, they're checked out. They're just listening to what you're saying. They're kind of like wanting to get out of this conversation, somehow. But you know when somebody kind of leans in and they're just really, how are you doing? That means a lot. And that's representing the gospel. That's preaching the gospel. That's living it out, living the gospel out. Encouragement and motivation. That's kind of what we're talking about. What's our ambition? We're still in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words or a honeycomb. Oh, so sweet. Sweet to the soul, healing right down to your bones. Like, I just love Proverbs. It's just so much. It's just imagery, right? Like when I do that, it's like sweet honey. It's like nectar to a person. And it affects them so deeply, it goes right down to the core of their being, right down to their bones. Like, wow, we have the ability to do that just by, consoling one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another. It brings healing to people. Wow. And let's be careful again. Okay, so it's not me, it's not you, but it's God living in you. When you do this thing, that they will feel this. They'll feel the love of God inside of you. Because again, what has God done for you? You are grateful and you want to return the favor in a sense. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement with being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. So what is our purpose? What is our ambition? What is our goal? It's to represent Jesus to every person that we run into. Whether it's from, you know, the greeter at the front door to, you know, your neighbor or to wherever. And wherever you go in this community, I just love this idea is that, you know, the hundreds of people that come here, the amount of circle of influence that we have in this community is unbelievable. I don't know if there's a profession or a job in this town where you could find zero Christians. I think there's almost a Christian in every circle, in every job, in every platform. And so as we go there, we are the ones representing. You know, we can't, in a sense, bring the Bible out and just start preaching it. Okay, everybody, it's break time. You know, try this in your coffee room during lunch break. I dare you. I go to some of these businesses. I'm invited in to just be there as kind of a pastoral or a shepherd or a, what is my role here? I'm trying to remember. I forgot. It's so good. I can't remember how good it is. Anyways, I go to these businesses and I'm there and I don't just in the lunchroom to start preaching the gospel to them. They'd kick me out. But I can go there and I can preach the gospel in a way that they don't understand. When I invest in them and I listen to them and I struggle and I go through life with them. Isn't that so sweet? Now, I'm not giving you an out here. This is not giving you an exit left stage, you know, door, you know, I don't need to preach the gospel. That's not my calling in life. I hate to say that's all of our calling. And there'll be opportunities when you do bring this out. And you say, let me show you in Scripture where it says this. Absolutely there is. So don't let hear in my voice this idea that there's just one preacher. And oh, I saw two preachers. I apologize. Where's Len? There's a third preacher. You know, no, no. We're all called to preach, but there's just many ways that we get to do that. So don't miss the opportunity when it presents itself to you to preach the Word of God. But also live it in a way so they'll ask you, why do you do that? And then you say to them, let me show you why I believe what I believe because of the hope I have, and his name is Jesus. It's just a sweet thought there. Preaching the gospel, yes. Kind of just circling back for a moment. I want to give you just a final thought here. So back to Romans chapter 15, 19, 20, and 21, our original text. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way to, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. There's always been my ambition, my aim, I aspire to this as my target to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This community, what Paul is talking about, if we read through the Gospels, we see that he went on many missionary journeys. I have a photo this morning that would kind of represent where he went from Jerusalem to this faraway community way up there by Italy. I've been to these areas of the world. They're just majestic and beautiful. I would want to travel too if I was him. So what does that mean to us? So we're talking about terrace. This is all the way up to Dawson City. Like that's a far distance, right? So 1,000 miles or 1,600 kilometers Paul traveled and presented the gospel. And that's, he was like, I'm going to go as far as I can and preach as much as I can. That's his ambition. That was my question to you in the very beginning. Hey, I have ambitions to, you know, raise my family well, keep my grass looking green, you know, all these kind of important things in life. But really, what God's done for me is like, it is priceless. I can't put it into words what he's done for me. So how do I respond to him? Amen. I respond to him by coming here. Yes, absolutely. We respond to him in worship. We respond to him in serving. We respond to him in all kinds of ways. But never forget that responding to human beings, other people, is another way that we represent the gospel. It is crucial. It is key. It's what brings around change in a whole community. It's what brings around change in a church. And when we figure that out, when we focus on that, it's part of the whole nut. You know, we don't just say, well, everything I do, right? I've got to abandon my work. I can't work anymore. I can't, because I got to go get people. Hey, okay, so there's a few of us called to do that. They're called missionaries. They go overseas typically. But the rest of us still have to punch our clock. We still got to pay our bills. We still got to mow that grass. We still got to do these kind of things. But when we do that, we live our lives, we interact with people in this world. And I pray that our interactions with this world would be like we've just read about. We would carry each other's burdens. We would know their name. We would know what makes them tick. We would know their favorite, whatever it is, so that we would be a blessing to them. And I pray that our church would represent that super well. This is one way that we aspire, we have ambition to bring the gospel forward. You know our church's current goal, our ambition, our target is, you know, you've pivoted to 9:30. We're going to 11:30. We're going to add a second service real soon. And people are going to be coming here from our community. I hate to say it, we're making it like almost so easy that they're going to come here. And then how do we interact with them? I'm not even asking you to go out. Now, you should go outside these four walls. You should interact with the community. But they will come here. And I pray that they, as they interact with you or me or any one of us, I pray that that interaction would be like sweet honey. That it would just be a pleasant experience. They'd go, wow, I just felt something that I've never felt anywhere else. Now, there's lots of great churches in town. I love all these churches. But just, you know, because they met Jesus. They met the Jesus in you that lives through you. I just really pray that that would be the desire of our hearts. So thanks for letting me share that with you. Let me pray now. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we're so grateful for the Word of God. God, we hold it. We just want to hold it tightly, Father, that it would guard our minds and our hearts so that we would be obedient to it, oh God. So often, you know, I put my hand on your word, Lord, and I put my hand on my heart, and I say, God, would the truth of your word penetrate my heart? Would my heart of stone, would my heart of my own will, my own desire fade away? So that your truth could live there, that your truth would direct my life. And so, Father, the thoughts that I have, these ideas that come through my mind that are so contrary to you, that can lead me so many different ways, I pray that my mind would be renewed right now as I heard these words. I pray that you would safeguard my mind from thoughts and ideas that are destructive, and that you would flood my mind with your love and your peace and your comfort, as we read here today, Father. I need a touch from heaven. I need you to do things that cannot be done on earth. I need you to do something miraculous in my life. So we call on the miraculous God that can do wonderful things. So, Lord, would you renew my thoughts? Would you renew pathways? Would you renew even cells in my body that are sick? Would you remove sickness in Jesus' name? Would you remove destructive thoughts in Jesus' name? Would you fill them with the love of Christ in Jesus' name? We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.